That you have interest in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and following hard after Him. Love that. And so when I watch, and I watch, I love to watch, and when I watch and hear you, when I see you and hear you singing wholeheartedly unto the Lord, when I can tell you're interested, even though you're tired, you're interested, and you want to learn and you want to grow, those things encourage me. Encourage me. And so it's so much fun to come to an event with people I know and minister with them. It's a mutually encouraging weekend. So I want to say thank you. We need to take care of a few housekeeping items. If you did not, Chelsea's going to be happy to give you a packet if you did not receive one. So please and thank you. Raise your hand in the air like you just don't care. No, really, raise your hand in the air if you did not get a packet the first time. I don't have enough for everybody to get a second one. So if you didn't get one the first time, now's the time to raise your hand. And I need you to bring to your attention a mistake in the packet. Maybe you diligently realized this. I actually knew about it, but I forgot to correct it. And so here's the thing. When we're on the section where it says which throne, and it has a Revelation chapter 20 for the great white throne, and then for the Bema seat, it has 2 Corinthians 5, I think, then Romans 14, I think it's in that order. Anyway, those verses are not identical. They're very similar, they say a very similar thing, but the text is just repeated inappropriately. And so, look up the passage, and for the second one, you need to write in the right verses. Some of you might have noticed that. That was a mistake that I did not correct. So, next time around, we'll correct that. But you can do it! You can do it! And so, I encourage you to do that. So, I have just a few t-shirts from Emmaus Bible College. I don't have many, and I don't have a grand variety in size. And so these babies are just smalls, I think, all of them. But we're going to do a little review, And here's how we do the review, okay? So, and even if you're a person that would not fit in this particular garment, you can still get it and give it to somebody or whatever the case might be. So, anyway, enough said. Okay, here's how we do this. I'm going to ask you a question. If you know the answer to the question, you need to do two things. This is not really tricky, but you'd be shocked how many people don't get this right. All you have to do is stand up and shout out the answer. Stand and proclaim, people. That's all you have to do. And if you're right, I'll give you the t-shirt if you're the first to do so. First to stand and proclaim. But if you stand up and you don't say it, I'm so sorry. If you stand up and say the wrong answer, I'm so sorry as well. But that's how we roll. Stand and proclaim if you know the answers. We're going to say, leaders, thanks for coming, but you may not participate in this one. Yeah. See me later and I'll hook you up however you would like to be hooked up in regards to swag from UBC. Anyway, these questions are going to really test your listening skills. They're not just going to be the obvious one What's the name of the throne in Revelation chapter 20? Hello, that's obvious, the great white throne. What's the name of the throne in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? The judgment seat of Christ, obvious. These questions are a little more difficult to see if you have been listening ever so clearly. And we might have a bit of a few easy ones as well. Okay, tell me, here's the first one. Please stand and proclaim the number of videos we've seen and what they represent thus far. We've seen day three. What are they? Okay, hi.
So, we had Emmaus.
Emmaus Bible College, Dubuque, Iowa.
Then we had the
CBT
video.
We had the one from Mountaintop Youth Camp. And everybody received a little card about this one, I think, right?
And then it was camp for Oscar.
I'm going to help you. Think about very cold weather.
I know the date. It's 13th.
Yeah, of what month? Is it? How about the? I'm going to help you because grace on top of grace is what I'm all about. And so, say this after me: CMML.
CMML.
Right. 26 below.
26 below.
Yes. Conference.
Conference.
Exactly. See. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yes. Grace on top. Yes. By the way, Joseph, Joey, Joe, what do you prefer these days? See, I've known you by all. I'm going with Joseph, please, and thank you.
Amen.
Thanks for careful. Is Joseph not right? Joe? Mr. Young Sheldon.
Yeah, Young Sheldon.
Thanks for so carefully selecting the songs. That encourages my heart. Those last few, I'm going to get the names. Yes, thank you. Okay, here's another one. Ready, folks? I told you about a fad that's back. What goes around comes around, right? Yeah, thanks for standing up, but I haven't asked a question. Yes, yes. And so this fad that goes around and comes around is very popular, and if you want to be with it, you're going to go get a bracelet. But I suggested to you not one, not four, not two, but three renderings of WWJD. So what are all three? What could they represent, all three? Anybody out there? Because I gave them to you kind of on the DL, on the slide. So I'm wondering if you remember.
There it is.
Let's give it a shot.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do represents the original accurately, no doubt.
Walk with Jesus daily.
Walk with Jesus daily. And I'm going to help you in case you need help.
Oh, you got it.
Go. Bring it to me. Declare is exactly right. Yeah. So you could go with the original, and you can mix it up and just decide each day. You could say, today it's representing what would Jesus do. Tomorrow you might decide, walk with Jesus daily. Or you might be thinking, what will Jesus declare? They all work. I dare you to go get one and start wearing them. Youth group leaders, go buy a chunk. Order them. You can get 50 like for nothing and give them away. Yes, yes. Multiple colors. Okay. I said to you on numerous occasions, and I don't know if you caught it, but I said, you know, I say this to my kids all the time. I've been saying this all over the country lately. It's a phrase that I've been saying, and it starts like this. Doing life God's way. And then I had this phrase that I gave you. And I'm wondering if you caught it. If you caught it. Anybody catch that one? Hello? Do you think so?
I did. It's the best way, so obey.
Did you say doing life God's way is the best way, so obey? Yeah, that's what you said, right? Yeah. That's perfect. That's perfect. Well done. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. I started it, and you finished it together. Well done. Yes, nicely played. All right, for the last one, I'm wondering if you were listening to this. I said several times, I said, you know something, for a believer, this is true. And for an unbeliever, this is true.
If you're a believer, you born twice, die once.
At the most, right? Because you might not.
But if you're an unbeliever, you live once and you die twice.
Boom, shakalaka. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. He gets to give it away of his own accord. Yes. Okay. All right. We've done some motions. And I'm going to give you one more. This would have been a great review question. I would have said, tell me what my friend Dennis encouraged us to remember all the time. Three words. What were they? Do you remember? I don't have any shirts, so just I appreciate all the energy. Remember the Bema. And so that's going to be our Momo. And so we're going to do this. We're going to do like we're scratching our heads and we're going to say, remember. And then we're going to do this. No, instead we're going to do this. We're going to say, remember. And then come into a posture of humility and bowing. And we'll come to that posture by saying the. Remember the. And then we will bow in humility and say Bema. So, remember the Bema. Ah! Okay. Please stand up. And so, in case you forgot, because it's been such a full and busy weekend, we started with this motion. Living, and that's walking, doing life, we're walking, we're living. Living today in light of that day. Remember that? I remember that. The second one, we kept it so simple. We're just asking the question, which throne? Which throne? And then we're going to say, remember the meal. Okay, ready? Three. By the way, anybody still think you're too cool for school and you won't? Please, we're all doing this together. Ready? Three, two, one. Living today in light of that day. Really? Which throne? Remember the Bema. Have a seat. Here's what's going to happen next, in case you wondered. I'm going to pray, then after I pray, I'm going to play a video that perhaps you've seen or you've heard before. It's very profound. Think about the creativity of the lyrics of the video I pray play for you in just a minute. And then we're going to look at one more session together that is going to rock your world, I promise you. If you're not awake, you will be. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to realize it is so, so fun to get serious about following hard after you. It's such a delight to be able to open your word and learn what it has to say. It's so fun doing life together. Father, I pray that these young men and women might remember that doing life your way is the best way. So help them to obey, we pray. Father, we pray that we might think about what the future holds, because we know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know all of it, but we know several things, and we've talked about two. We've talked about two throne events that will happen in the future. And so I pray, Father, that everybody in this room will ask and answer the question, which throne will I stand before? And they might ask their friends and family members as well. Be able to open your word and show them, others from your word, what it says about these throne events. Father, I pray that we would now live in light of these events. Help us to live today in light of that day. Father, help us to know what we're supposed to do in order to get ready. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to move with it if you feel like you need to. It happens. Whoa. seriously. Here's what it says, in case you didn't catch it. Listen carefully. This is what it says. We ready. We ready. We ready for y'all. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that. That is profound. Think about that. And there's different versions. You shouldn't be talking now. There's different versions to that little ditty commercial, don't you know? But the concept is really an important one. And so I'm asking you a question yet again today. And the question for our final session together is this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to return? Are you ready? So I want you to look at a passage with me that's going to encourage us in how we can practically prepare for the return of Christ. And be ready for what is to come. By the way, I love that commercial. I wasn't making fun of it. I love it. I love the themes like that. Simple yet memorable. And that's a great concept. I played sports back in the day. You'll have to just believe me when I say that. But I did. I did. I used to play basketball and football and baseball, and now I just play golf. But I love sports, and I love the concept of team, and I love hype, and I love catchy phrases and pep talks that really inspire. So I get behind that idea of just getting ready. This idea that we together would say, we are ready. We're ready. And so my question for us, as we've thought about two events that are going to happen in the future, the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, practically this afternoon, I want us to simply ask ourselves, are we ready for these events? Because this passage in 1 John, if you have your Bibles, in 1 John chapter 2, going into chapter 3, verse 3, is just a powerful section. And I'm going to give you the ABCs of getting ready. 1 John, and in case you forgot, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are almost at the end of the Bible. The epistles of John, St. John who wrote the Gospel. 1 John. So I'm going to give you three words. One starts with A, one starts with B, and one starts with C. And these are the words that I trust will help us to be able to sing what we just heard sung. To be able to say that we are ready. We are ready. John's writing here, and he writes to saved people. Again, the audience that he has in mind when he's writing are those who already became Christians. If you read 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and you don't have that straight in your mind that he's writing to Christians, you'll be pretty confused. Pretty confused. So it's important to remember he's talking to saved people. And he uses words like beloved. We'll see that. He uses words like brethren. He uses words like children. He views them as his children in the faith, those that he's writing to. And so he does that here. He says in verse 28 of chapter 2, he says this. And now, little children, he's not talking about those who are in grade school only. He's not just talking about babies. He's talking about Christians. And he's talking to Christians, and he's saying to Christians, here's what you need to do in order to be ready. Now, little children. And here's the first word. Starts with the letter A. It's the word abide. The word abide. We could talk a long time about what the word abide means. It's an important word. It's a term that has to do with agriculture. I live in Iowa,
And there are farms all over the state of Iowa. There are more pigs in Iowa than there are people in Iowa. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so we understand the idea of farming. We understand the idea of agriculture, the idea of having something rooted into the ground in order for it to be secure, in order for it to grow. The psalmist in Psalm 1 talks about a tree that is firmly planted or firmly rooted. Think about it. And I know you can picture. I know you can picture a big old tree that has a root system that goes down deep into the soil in order for it to have its necessary nutrients and water and all that is necessary for something to grow. And John talks a lot about abiding. He talks a lot about abiding. He talks about it in John chapter 15. He talks about it in the epistles of John. And the idea of abide is this idea of being grounded or rooted. It's this idea of staying or remaining or continuing is the word abide. It's this idea of doing what we're supposed to do with God's word. If we abide in the truth, abiding, staying, remaining. So it has to do with our relationship to the word, the Bible, but also how we relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with him. Having a healthy relationship with the word and with the Lord Jesus, who is the word. John says, abide. Abide. Stay, remain, continue. Have your roots down deep into the soil. Be rooted, having a firm foundation. My son right now is 10, and he thinks he's very strong. He thinks he's very strong. And the truth is, he's pretty strong. And he loves to say, Dad, can I try to take you down? And it's kind of fun because he can't take me down. But he loves to try. And so I'm teaching him, I'm saying, Johnny, listen, if you want to have a chance, you got to have your legs firmly planted. And you got to stay low. And you have to be grounded and you have to be rooted. I used to play center. I was an offensive lineman. And I wasn't the biggest. I grew up in a farming community. These guys were enormous, these linemen. I wasn't the biggest, but I could think a little bit. And so I knew that I had to be first off the ball, and I needed to stay low, and I needed to keep my trunk moving. Needed to keep moving. Stay low and keep your legs moving and be firmly rooted. That's what he means when he's talking about abide. He says, listen, saved people. Listen, Christians, at the youth rally, if you're a Christian, he's talking to you and he's saying, you know what you better do if you want to be ready? You better stay in the Word of God. You better stay in it. And you better have a healthy relationship with the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus. And how do we do that? We abide, we stay, we continue, we remain. We are rooted in the truth of God's Word. Can you tell me this? Would you feel okay if we just started anywhere in the room and we just asked everybody to total up the amount of time last week we spent in God's Word? How much time did you spend reading God's Word, meditating on it, memorizing it last week in comparison to Facebook or anything on the internet or any other form of entertainment? How much time did we spend in God's Word? How much time? Would anybody just be thrilled to say, I would love to tell you how much time I spent in God's Word last week. I spent 17 hours in God's Word. Anybody just ready to share that? You see, we have a hard time doing what we're supposed to do. And so John writes and he says, you've got to stay. You've got to remain. You've got to continue. You've got to abide. My dad passed away in March. And he was such a practical servant of the Lord Jesus. And he was famous for many simple phrases. And one of those was and is this. He always would say to us and to his students, keep your finger on the page. Keep your finger on the page. Make sure you know what God's word says. And make sure you're in it. You know what it says in it said in the cover, the inside cover of D.L. Moody's Bible? It said this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. There's a guy named Tozer, I believe. No, it was Spurgeon. Spurgeon who said this. When a believer is cut, they should bleed Bible. I had a professor in seminary. You know what he used to say to us? He would say, dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. John's writing here, and I've given you one of the three words I'm going to give you to remember. And he says to little children, believers, you got to abide. Abide is your first word. And he tells us why. Here's why we should. Look what he says next. You with me? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Why? The word so is there. It says so. Abide in him so that when he comes back, so that when Jesus comes back, we will have the right response. There are two responses in this verse. One of them's good and one of them's bad. And both of them are responses that believers, little children, saved people, are going to have when Jesus comes back. Here's my question. Which one of these is going to describe you? There's two options. That's why John says to abide. Now, little children, stay, remain, continue. Abide so that when the Lord Jesus appears, we will not. Here's the negative one. Wait, it starts with the positive, right? It does. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. We may have confidence. It doesn't take us by surprise. We are abiding. We're living out the truth we have learned. We're staying rooted and grounded. We're doing what the Word of God says, and we're relating rightly to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And so when Jesus comes back, it's not a surprise to us. We've been waiting for you. We've been looking for you. We've been longing for you. We've been wanting for you to come back. And so we're ready. We're ready. The other option in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, the other option is this, that when Jesus comes back for a believer, the other option is this, that we shrink away in shame. It says it. Look at it with me. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, that's talking about Jesus coming back, his rapture, when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. He's coming back. He's coming back one day. And for those who are Christians, we're supposed to be looking for him, waiting for him, living life in light of his soon return. And so when he does return, we can have positively confidence. I've been waiting for you. I've been looking for you, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus tells us, or Paul writes to Titus and says that in chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for Jesus, we can have confidence or shrink away in shame at his appearing. How many of you remember a guy, a dear friend of mine named Israel Chavez? Remember Israel? He directs at camp. I've been at camp with him many years. Israel is now the vice president of student development at Emmaus Bible College. I used to serve in that same position years and years ago. And here's something that I think Israel does. It's something I did in that position, and it's something we call room inspection. Room inspection. So on a regular basis, we would have the resident assistants at Emmaus Bible College go to the dorms and inspect the rooms to make sure they're not living in complete filth and everything is not in disarray. And so normally those would happen on Mondays. During chapel, the student leaders, the RAs, would be in the rooms, inspecting the rooms. And so the students caught on to this pattern, and so they would hurriedly throw everything in their closet or under their bed and just pretend that their room was in good shape and not in disarray. But on occasion, we would just have surprise room inspection. Not on the scheduled day Mondays, but we would just say, hey, on Thursday, during Floor Devos, we're going to have inspection. And some of the students were living in light of that reality, and their room was ready. Some of those students were not prepared. And they had to face the reality that they weren't living according to the way in which they were being asked to live. Which is true of you? Not in regards to whether or not your room is clean, but in regards to the way you're living. Would you feel comfortable with the Lord Jesus coming back today or tomorrow or this week based upon the way you're living? That's what John's talking about here. He says, little children, stay, remain, continue, abide, so that when he appears, we can have confidence. I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you, and not respond in this way. I am so sorry. I'm embarrassed. I know I shouldn't have been living this way and looking at that or going to this or doing that. I know I haven't been abiding like I'm supposed to as a believer. That's an option for believers, that we would shrink away in shame when our Savior comes back. So how can we get ready? How can we declare we ready? By abiding. By abiding, staying, remaining, obeying. Now, little children, abide in him. He goes on to say this, and we will look at the following verses. He says, if you know that he, and that's as if you're saying, since we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. It's a great statement, a statement that says we know that Jesus is righteous. We know this is true of God as well. And so reality is this, for a believer who's abiding, they should be living righteously also. It's proof. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That shows that the way we're living evidences that we are his children. Evidence is that we are his children. Now, there are occasions and there are passages of Scripture that will support this, where saved people are not living like saved people should. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you're not living the way you should, and you need to change. But this statement is a very general statement that declares, you know what? We know that he is righteous. And you know that everyone also who practices righteousness, lives out the right thing, is born again, is born of him. And so it's a logical statement. If we know that he's righteous, and we know those who are his children are living like him righteously, we know that proves that they are God's children. So my question is this: how are you living? Are you evidencing that you belong to him, doing what is right, living righteously like he is righteous? How do we do that? We abide in him. I loved one of the songs based upon Galatians 2:20 that we sang together. In the life that I now live in the flesh, in our bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We can't do it in and of ourselves. He enables us to do it. Peter tells us his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Are we allowing the Spirit to live in and through us so we are behaving righteously like he is righteous? What was the first word that starts with the letter A? I can't remember. It's Saturday afternoon. What is it? Help me. Just say it if you know it. Abide. Abide. That's the first one. Here's the next one. And I'm going to warn you. When I hear this word, when I see this word or I sing this word, it's a word that I feel like needs to be said loudly. So I'm going to do that in just a minute. I gave you a warning. You know what we like to do in our house? And it gets carried away sometimes. Sometimes it gets out of control. We like to scare one another. Do any of you do that? My son and daughter love to do that with one another. And we can hear them screaming in the household when one scares the other. It gets out of control. You know what happens to me when somebody sneaks up on me and scares me? Here's what happens to me. I want to destroy them. That's my natural reaction. I just want to take them down. There was a time where I was newly married to my sweet wife, Katie. We were living in Tennessee, and our room was upstairs, and you had to come around the corner in order to get into the bathroom. And so I'm in the bathroom brushing my teeth and just getting ready, and my wife sneaks up the stairs and comes around the corner and scares the life out of me. And I spit all over the mirror, and I took my toothbrush as if I was going to slay her with it because I was so mad that she scared me. She got me, and that's my first defense. I just want to, don't do that. We love doing that in our house. Yeah, we love doing that in our house. There's a word that really captures that idea of waking up. It's the word behold. Behold! Behold! I love that word. Guess what letter it starts with? B. Thanks for coming. So word number two is what? Say it with me like you mean it. 3, 2, 1, say it with me.
Behold!
Behold! It's this idea. It's this idea of saying, are you kidding me? Do you not get it? Do you not see? Do you not see? You see, John, who is writing here, he wants everybody to get it. He wants everybody to see. Would you please just realize how much God loves us? Can you even see it? Can you get over it? Sometimes we sing this from the Black Book. Sometimes we sing this at camp and around. Behold what manner, you know that one? Behold, see. That's what John is trying to say. And he says it this way, and it should be in your packets. If not, we're in verse 1 of chapter 3 right now. It says this, see. Please see, behold. Let it sink in and really appreciate anew and afresh how much he loves us. Listen, if we're going to be ready for his return, we can never lose sight of how much he loves us. Behold what love, what wondrous love, to see, to appreciate how deep, didn't we sing that earlier? How deep the Father's love for us. You see, what happens to us is we lose sight of that. What happens to us is we forget about that. And when we lose sight of it, and when we forget about it, that's when we are most likely to not abide, to not remain, to not continue, to live just like the world. Not living in light of Christ's return, but just living for us. And so John writes and he says this, would you please? He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. To what extent? That we should be called children of God. John says in chapter 1 of John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. That's why John writes here and says little children, because they are children of God, and so are we. There's a group that I think none of you have heard of. I would venture to say most of you haven't. It's a group, a Christian group from Seattle, and their name is Everybody Duck. Everybody Duck. Anybody ever heard of Everybody Duck? Hello. Some of us from back in the day. And they sang a song. You shouldn't be talking now. They sang a song, and I still sing it sometimes. You might have as well. It's simply called Child of God. It's classic. It's simple. It's fantastic. Praise to the Lamb who was slain. Praise to the Father who gave his Son away. The truth of love, the price of grace, he traded all to take my place. What's the end of it? That we might be children of God, that I might be called a child of God. I want you to say something with me. If you're saved and you know it, in a moment, when I count you down, 3, 2, 1, I want you to simply say and let it sink in for a moment, anew and afresh, I am a child of God. If it's really true of you, I want you to simply declare it with me and let it sink in, this reality that we are His children. We are His children. Three, what are we saying? I am a child of God. Three, two, one. I am a child of God. Listen to me. You know what John's trying to do here? He's trying to say, would you please see that? He uses this phrase I love in that verse. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And such we are. And such we are. That's us. That's us, he's saying. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. That's us. We are children of God. That's amazing. It's amazing to make the declaration you just did and you were forced to a little bit. I get it. But nonetheless, to be able to genuinely say, I am a child of God. John's trying to say, don't ever get over that. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever forget about how deep we have been loved. How great the Father's love is for us. In the morning, here at this particular local church, there will be a service that helps us remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done. And so we'll take bread and take the cup, and we'll remember how deep the Father's love is toward us. You know why He asked us to do that? Because we forget. It's great to be reminded. And John's saying that. Don't ever forget how much He's loved us. Such to the extent that we're children of God. That's us. He goes on to say this. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. You know what that says in the end of verse 2? Or verse 1, it's saying we ought to be different. The world did not know Him, and the world really shouldn't know us because we are different in the way in which we live. For this reason, the world does not know Him, does not know us because it did not know Him. And then he says in verse 2, another word for Christians, my little children, or little children, in verse 28, in verse 2, he says this, beloved. In verse 1, he said, children of God. Here he says, beloved, a great term for believers. Now we are children of God. You know what it's like in verse 2? It's like, I can't get over that fact. I know I just said it to you in verse 1, but it's so amazing to me. I want to say it again. That's who we are now. Now we are children of God, he says. And he goes on to make a statement about some things that have not happened yet, some things that are still to take place, some details that we don't have all the information, and so there's some uncertainty, but there then is a statement of certainty. Here's what he says. Beloved, now we are children of God. That's who we are, and such we are, as he said in verse 1. Beloved, now we are children of God, verse 2, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. That hasn't happened yet. And so there's details of how our lives will ultimately be transformed and glorification will take place. And we don't know exactly when and we don't know exactly how. And there's uncertainty about how that will all play out. But then he says, this is what we do know. Here's what we can take to the bank. Listen to what he says. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. That reality hasn't happened yet. There's still this ultimate change to come. I love that. But this is what we know. We know that when He appears, I get pretty excited about this truth. We know that when He appears, that's when Jesus comes back. The rapture is what is being talked about here. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we will see Him. We shall see Him just as He is. One day, one day, I will, and every other believer, all children of God, will have their bodies changed and will receive a glorified body. That hasn't happened yet. That hasn't happened yet for believers. It will happen one day. And one day when we are in that reality and in that circumstance and situation, we are going to see him face to face. And we are going to be like him. John's talking about that change, that ultimate and complete transformation that hasn't happened yet, but is going to happen one day. We call it glorification. That is the complete process of salvation where we are just like him and we receive glorified bodies. It says it this way, when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. Can you imagine that? One day, in our glorified bodies, we're going to see our Savior face to face. I've told some of you this before, but I'll say it again. We love, in our household, we love to pray with our kids. We love to sing with our kids. We love to teach them doctrine and theology, even when they don't know we're doing it, through what we sing and through what we pray. And sometimes we sing this song with them. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. Anybody familiar with that one? Was that a salty song back in the day? Maybe, I don't know. Classic. A classic song. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I am going to see, and if you're a believer, you are going to see your Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. That's how it's supposed to be. That we can't wait for this event that's going to happen in the future where we will have glorified bodies and we will see our Savior face to face. And that's supposed to change the way we think and live. We sing this one too. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Gonna see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven is so wonderful, bright and fair. Praise the Lord. I'm going there. I'll be there forever. Can't wait. Gonna leave never. Can't wait. And I know I'll not be late. I'm going to heaven and I can't wait. When we sing this, and we've sung this at camp as well, at the end, you scream out, can't wait. My kids would do it too. I'm going to heaven, and I can't wait. And they scream, can't wait. They don't do it anymore because they're too cool for that. It happens about this stage of life. It happens. But is that true of you, that you can't wait? You can't wait until you see your Savior's face. What was the first word that starts with the letter A? I forget. Again, I forget. My mind today. Abide. What's the second word? It starts with B.
Behold.
Here's the third word. You ready for it? It's simple, but it's supposed to be what happens when we're thinking about the Lord Jesus. You see, when we're thinking about the fact that we're going to see him face to face, we're going to see him and we're going to be like him when we have our glorified bodies. This is happening in the future. It hasn't happened yet. And so thus John says things the way he did, but this is going to happen. And so if we know that to be true, and he says, we know it. We know this is going to happen. And so you know what should be happening? Our lives should be changing. The third word is change. Say it with me. Change. Here's how he says it. Look at the end of this section. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him. This is a Southern translation. The word fixed. I love that word. I lived in the South for a while. We say it, don't we? I'm fixing to go to the store. I'm fixing to go to camp. I'm fixing to go to the youth rally. This is a great concept. John means something just a little differently, and he means this is my laser focus. This is what I'm thinking about all the time. The fact that I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to be like him. Everybody who has their hope fixed on him. It says everybody has this hope, doesn't it? This hope, what hope? That we'll see him face to face. As we think about that and as we long for that and as we look for that, you know what happens? We change. It says it. Look what it says. Purifies himself just as he is pure. If I know I'm going to see Jesus face to face one day, If I know I'm going to be like him in my glorified body, and I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to see him, and I know that's happening in the future, John says it, we know this. He then says, if this is what we're really fixed on, thinking about, we're going to live differently. We're going to purify ourselves. We are going to become more and more like him and less like the world because we're going to see him. Change. So how can we get ready? How can we be ready for the things that will happen in the future? John gives us three concepts and really tells us why. And I hope you'll remember these three. Abide, behold, change. Abide, behold, change. Because we want you to see and understand that doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. My dad, again, he's on my mind a lot lately, and the things that he's taught me. There was a phrase that he was taught by mentors of his. And it's a phrase that was really true of his life as well. Phrase that really summarized his life in two words. And here's what I long for you to be committed to as well. Here's the two words. You want to know what they are? Routine faithfulness. Routine faithfulness. The words abide, behold, change are words that just call us to do what we know to do. Routine faithfulness, day in and day out. Do what we know to do. Living in light of the fact that one day we're going to be with him, we're going to be like him, we're going to behold him, we're going to see him, and that should motivate us to change. What words can we remember that will help us be people of routine faithfulness? Abide, behold, change. Father, help us to remember these words and to go back to this passage where we find these words and concepts so we would become more and more and more like your Son and less like this world in which we live. Father, your word says this in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, it was your grace that teaches us how we are to live. Teaching us, your grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should rather live soberly and righteously and godly right now in this present age, looking for what John says here for us to look for, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask that you would help us to abide and help us to behold and help us to change. Father, I pray that we would live each and every day in light of that day. We would ask some important questions. What do we know the future holds? Which throne will we stand before? And are we ready? We commit this weekend to you and the privilege to interact with these young men and women. And I pray, Father, above all else, that they would be ready. They would be ready for their throne experience, and they would be ready for the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help us to abide, behold, and change. In Jesus' name, amen.